I would dare say though that most of us, if we were stopped on the street, say, what's the good news? Would stumble to figure out what to say, how to describe what this thing is, the good news. And there's lots of ways we can talk about it, but we get some good hints here by what Jesus said, by what Mark tells us that Jesus, his words were when he was proclaiming the good news. He said, now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come here. Repent and believe in the good news. Time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Again, there's another phrase we use a lot. The kingdom of God. What do we mean by the kingdom of God? What is this thing that has come near? And how is my life different because it has come near? Well, for me, the easiest way to understand the kingdom of God is it is the place where God is king, where God's rules, ways, priorities, methods, desires are brought to bear on the lives of men and women. So there is, yes, there is the ultimate kingdom of God in heaven. We don't get to experience that in the course of this life. But it has come near. We're a little closer. Because you see, in the person of Jesus, we have a living example of what it looks like to see the kingdom of God. In Jesus, we see what it looks like to live by God's rules, to live with God as king. And we see that in Jesus, and now that Jesus has come, the kingdom is nearer to us than it used to be. I think that's what he's talking about. That place where God is, his will is perfectly done, he is perfectly worshipped and adored. We don't get there fully in this life. But as we begin to model our lives on that example, as we begin to draw our lives more and more closely to that pattern of living, the pattern of the kingdom of God, we begin to taste. We begin to sample the kingdom. We begin to get a glimpse. And so when we care for one another in love and charity with no further agenda, we get a little glimpse of the kingdom. When we serve those who are in need without seeking anything for ourselves, we get a little taste of what the kingdom is like. And the more we pour our lives in that direction, the more we live that way, the more we begin to taste the kingdom. And then he said that because the kingdom has come here, we are to repent. Now, repentance has a funny connotation for us because we've been taught to think of repentance as, okay, I was doing this terrible sin, and now I'm going to stop doing this terrible sin, and I'm going to go do this. Okay? So we tend to associate repentance with simply turning away from some sin. But I want us to remember that repentance is actually a broader idea than that. What it really means is to set our lives on a different track. It doesn't necessarily mean that everything about our lives is horrible and sinful and so forth. But it means that we're moving our lives to a different way, to a different set of rules, a different set of standards, a different way of thinking about how we live, how we make the choices we make, what kind of service we offer to those who are around us. We were talking about this a little bit in the Sunday morning class, and it's not necessarily that we are going to be doing different things, but we do things differently. For example, if we are at a stage in life where we are raising children is a a God-given priority. There is nothing more important than the fact that God has entrusted you with these precious children of His. Right? And so, God would never, I believe, call us to something that means we abandon our children. Or do we stop caring for and loving our children? Or it may be as simple as another example I used this morning, somebody working at the post office or whatever it is. It doesn't necessarily mean that we stop working at the post office and we go to the slums of Calcutta, or we go to Zimbabwe, or we go to Bolivia, or whatever. But it does mean that we now see that it's not just that I'm trying to make a little money so I can pay my family's bills, but as a child of God, I seek to be of service to those who are around me. And if the way I can be of service is sorting some mail, so be it. If the way I can be of service is caring for children, so be it. If the way I can be of service is teaching in a school or working as a nurse or serving people in a restaurant or whatever it might be. So repentance doesn't necessarily mean stopping doing all the things we're doing. Repentance means setting our lives on a new track, on a new set of priorities, on a new way of seeing ourselves in relation to those who are around us. And we do so because the kingdom has come near. It's closer than it used to be. And the more that we live by the standards and practices of the kingdom, the more we taste it, the closer it gets. Of course, we don't get all the way there, but we'll get there until we get to heaven. But we can taste it. We can sample it. And then Jesus said, and believes the good news. So, the kingdom of God has come near. We respond to it coming near by repenting. And essential to that repenting is that we believe the good news. That God has come in the person of Jesus. The door is open to us. And we can now believe the good news. Now, the question then is, have we believed? You know, a funny idea today. I don't know if it's unique, but it's certainly, I certainly see it at play in our culture. That we can believe all kinds of things without them actually influencing our behavior. That's not what we're talking about. There's an interesting quote from Tony Robbins, rather famous self-help guru. Well, I'm not a big fan, but he did say one thing that I think was really helpful and true. Remember, a real decision is measured by the fact that you have taken new action. If there's no action, you haven't truly decided. If we haven't changed, we haven't really believed. It hasn't altered the way we see ourselves, the way we see ourselves in relation to those around us, the way we understand God's call on our lives. How do we believe in such a way that we take action, that we live differently, that we repent, move our lives to a new track that is deliberately seeing ourselves as servants of God, as servants of the kingdom, who are seeking to live out a little taste of that kingdom, not just for us, but so that those who are around us can get a little taste as well. And that they may then, by getting that sample, be drawn to the kingdom of God themselves. That they may see that yes, the kingdom of God has come here. And I can be touched by that. And I can be a part of that. And I can know what it is to be reconnected with my Creator, with my God. I can find purpose and definition in my life beyond what I can create for myself. I can find it under that banner of God's call on my life. It's really a call to discipleship. It's a call to place ourselves under the rule, the teaching, the standard, manners and practices of Jesus, that we can then be shaped by them. And you know, it really works as a cycle. We believe a little, and then we change the way we live, which causes us to believe a little more, which causes us to change a little more, which causes us to believe a little better. You see? And so it feeds on itself. We don't get all the way there. It's not like one big decision, and boom, we're done. And then a big change, and boom, we're done. It's a constant development through the course of our lives as we make that constant belief that we learn to believe, and then we learn to behave differently. So what is the good news? The good news is that we can be a part of the kingdom of God right here and now. We can taste it. We can be a piece of it. We can enjoy it, and we can share it with those who are around us because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us. We can be restored